Welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Looking resplendent, young William. Looking resplendent. This week, we're going to talk about the beautiful outpouring of pink and pearls in memory of Jamie Donaldson. What a wonderful sight to see at the shows. Also, transporting dogs from this country, from other countries, and everywhere in between. And friendships. Friendships that we can't ever forget. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh. Yellow Hill.
Young William, you are looking spectacular today, resplendent in your white goatee. And your brilliant sweater. You're looking like $1 million marked down from $1.5 million. How's it going, buddy?
Nailed it.
I'm glad you said that. You know, yeah, I was feeling a little down today. I was so sore after the weekend. I thought, geez, if I want to judge dogs, I better get in better shape. Because people don't realize you're on your feet the whole time. When you're showing dogs, you're stretching and running and doing different things. And when you're judging, you're just stuck in that ring, and you leave to use the restroom or you have lunch, but you're walking around. Yeah, you try to do as little steps as possible, but still, you know.
Yep. And you're doing some bending.
Yeah.
And it's not a typical normal way of bending, depending on the height of the dog. And you're doing that 175 times, sometimes double that, depending on how many times you want to look and what size they are.
I'm not a big fan of those judges that drop to the ground and watch the dogs go down and back. But can you imagine how sore those people would be at the end of the weekend?
If you do that, if you lean down and watch a dog move, right off the bat, I know you don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. I like the ones that chase them around and they're ducking as they're chasing.
Yeah. Like they can see that something better.
That's great. If you're sore, you deserve it.
Yeah. Just put a lawn chair in the middle of the ring. We can do that from there. You don't need all the histrionics. The other one is they move two dogs down and back at the same time. That's another telltale sign.
And we still get that once in a while.
Yeah, it pops up. Jesus. Used to pop a lot in my dad's days. But by the way, speaking of my dad, I always check in on our buddy Dougie Holloway.
Yeah.
One I know is one of both of our favorite people in the world. And we had a good chat yesterday. And he was talking about, he said, I don't think people realize how close I was to your mom and dad. And Dougie was, he was always good to my mom and dad. And I just think of how many friendships we made so many years ago that are still close and viable and wonderful. And Dougie, God bless you. You're one of them, pal. We love you. In the same ilk, we had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah, we sure did. The GOAT.
The greatest of all time, Mr. Peter Green, the one and only. Who doesn't love Peter?
Oh, exactly. I still want to be Peter when I grow up.
Man, me too. Just a great guy. Yeah. Loves dogs. Loves them. And
it doesn't matter what breed.
He's just a dog lover. And I can tell you that if you get to shows as early as George Ward and Will do, and me, you'll notice that Peter's there. You'll also notice at night, he's the last one to leave. He's hand walking dogs on leashes himself at night before he puts them up.
Oh, he loves dogs. I interviewed Ernesto this week, Ernesto Lara, and it was a great interview. And he talked about Peter's love for dogs. He talked about he would take Ernesto on a break and go look at a bull mastiff, and tell him how beautiful it was. And he'd say, well, it doesn't matter if he wins anything. I just want you to see how beautiful this dog was.
Yeah. Boy, was Ernesto lucky to have, or fortunate, because he was a great assistant, but to have Peter as a mentor, man, that's gold right there. But Peter, we love you, buddy. Hope you're having fun. I saw you eating some cake yesterday. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I sent Andrew a message yesterday because the Phillies are doing so well. All the Philadelphia teams seem to be doing well, and I told him happy birthday to Dad. And I wished him luck with all the teams except for the Flyers because they play the Leafs tonight.
That's right. Jeez, and the Eagles are what? Are they still 7-0?
It's the great time to be a Philadelphia fan right now.
It is. Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of Philadelphia... Oh, I don't want to get into it. But you don't want to go to... If you're not a Flyers fan... Don't go to a Flyers game.
You have to
wear a Flyers jersey.
Exactly. I ever tell you the time I can tell this story. Doug Belcher and I went to a Buffalo Toronto game in Buffalo.
That's funny in itself.
And I wore all my Maple Leaf stuff. And yeah. Buffalo's a great sports town, and they have their rivalry is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And they ragged on me, and they were jumping all over me because they were killing us. They always kill us in Buffalo. Yeah. In the first intermission, Doug went out and bought a Buffalo Sabres cap so they wouldn't rag on me.
Good on you, Doug. by the way, I want to get into something that I did this weekend, but speaking of Doug, if you need your dog moved about the country, Doug and Will are the people to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Really, people right now are looking to move dogs from one part of the country to the other.
You get phone calls all the time. Doug is very busy. So.
And the thing about you two guys is, you know about dogs. It's a big deal that if something happens along the way, or you just know how to dog, if it's a timid dog, you know how to get out of a crate without making it a big deal. If it's scared from a highway noise, you know how to handle that. It's a big deal to have people who really know dogs doing that. So hats off to the both of you. I went a little farther with my dog transport. And I would like to talk about it because I learned so much about this process. It had been 2 months of trying, and the rules change for importing dogs from different countries. It seems every 5 minutes.
Oh, constantly. Yeah.
And the requirements for crates, little things, change constantly. I just talked to someone who had to run out to the hardware store, go back to cargo, and put a screen over the door of the kennel for a cat. Because it's some new rule that had a screen and it just changes constantly. Nice. And each country is different. Each airline is different. A plug for KLM. I don't think it was a one-off. This dog had to go from Prague to Amsterdam, stay in the Amsterdam Pet Hotel, which, by the way, it is wonderful. Because the layover, they don't want to just sit in a crate. They take you to the pet. It's built right on in the airport. It's got grassy runs and dogs and vet techs, and it's amazing. She went from there to a flight from Amsterdam to Chicago. I drove there, no fun, and I went into air cargo. Well, when you go to cargo, you have truck drivers that are picking up loads of, you know, retail goods, whatever it might be. And you have people that are picking up dogs all going in the same building. Well, if you get the right person, and I did, who runs the show, I'm guessing this one runs a church and the choir too. She had things, come on now, gentlemen, over here. She had it sorted out. And the truck drivers weren't happy that there were so many dog people there picking up dogs. There were 12 dogs in this flight. They were all German Shepherds guys, Will. And they had shirts that revealed that they were German Shepherds guy, like snarling German Shepherd picture on the back, you know, canine, whatever on the back. And which is great. Nice guys, lovely guys. And I was picking up a beagle and, when we went through all the paperwork, the one was going through, the only one who had it right was me. I got to leave before everybody because of Casa Fairview Canines. Pilar, I hope you don't, I know I'm pronouncing your first name wrong. I don't know if it's Pilar or Pilar Kuhn, whoever you are. I love to meet you. She has great Scotties and Bouviers. What an amazing individual who runs this Casa Fairview Canines. If you're importing a dog from any other country, there's no place else to go. I talked to at least 10 importers. They didn't even know what I was talking about. They didn't know the laws. They didn't know anything. She knew everything. Wow. And got it done right. Other guys had agents too. They go up, your paper's wrong. You can't have this dog. This one's going to get sent. I mean, you won't believe this is serious stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
Hire an agent. And she's the one. So anyway, they release the dogs, the people going to get the dogs. Now, these guys are going in. They got ropes with spike collars to get their shots. The lovely person who sent me a dog in beautiful condition, in a beautiful clean crate with all these toys and stuff, and she was cleaning the crate, they had left a leash and collar tied to the crate. It was pink with little green flowers all the way down the side. So here's these big truck driver guys. Oh, I got my shepherd. Give me six of those, 20 of those. And like, come on, Poppy. We got it's my beagle. And of course, guess who got all the attention? All the women that worked there came running over. Oh, well, look at this.
Exactly.
It was so fun. But by the way, this is unheard of. From touchdown to me leaving, an hour and 23 minutes. Unheard of. It's 3 hours typically, maybe four. That's how good KLM was. They were Johnny on the spot. They knew what they were doing, especially if you had your, there's plenty of dogs that still might be there because those guys just didn't get the paperwork right. So, and by the way, the woman from KLM, because it was a cute little dog, carried the crate out to my car, which wasn't parked very close because there was all these trucks in the way. Carried the crate out, put it in the car.
No.
So yeah,
like beagles.
Tip of the hat to Casa Fairview Canines and KLM Airlines made this a painless, wonderful process. And to the other 12 of you who I called first, figure out what you're doing before you put yourself.
I have a similar story. I remember it wasn't an import dog. So I was just picking up a dog for a client, and you get there first thing in the morning, 5 a.m, and all the truckers there get on. They've got their caps on, their boots, and their their. Big to meet you. I'm sitting there because I just gotten up and put my cap on. I just ran from the car going, I'm sitting there. They call me. Well, it was a toy poodle I was picking up. Her name was Felicia. Yes. And she's in a little toy crate. So I pick her up. And me being me, I just took her and I held the crate up to my face and said, oh, Felicia, I missed you so much. And just walked out of the car. And they all looked at me like, oh, great. I just thought it'd be funny. I laughed all the way home.
Andy Kaufman humor. I love it. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Oh, I missed you so much, Felicia. There's this little black toy poodle with little wraps looking out the window.
Was this a Toronto cargo?
Yeah, Toronto. Yeah.
You know that one inside out, right?
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
I might be hiring your services. Anyway, yeah, if you're going to ship a dog, make sure you know what you're doing. If it's by ground, use pros. If it's by air, use pros. And by the way, check to see if the AKC recognizes that country's registry.
Yeah.
That's also important. I got the export pedigree ahead of time. I was able to get it registered right away with the AKC. I got all that done ahead of time. It takes a long time. Plan ahead. Call Casa Fairview Canines. They're in LA, but they have agents everywhere. In fact, they had a contact person in Czech Republic who spoke Czech, of course, and English, and was able to communicate and get all that done on that end. When you get to the counter, some of these guys had to pay their customs fee, their taxes, their warehouse holding fee, all these fees. They didn't know about that. And if they didn't have the right method of payment, they couldn't get the dog out. I didn't have to do any of that. They took care of all that. And then they billed me for it, of course. But it sped up the process dramatically. So, go with the pro. Go with the pro.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys get dogs across the border, you and Doug, because you know how to do it. And you got the right paperwork. And you don't want to get stuck at the border. And your dogs sent back to Germany. They have no problem turning around and sending them back.
For sure.
So, get it done right. If it costs extra or if it takes extra time, wait and get it done right. And you won't regret it. You won't regret it. Young William?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about your judging.
I judged the sporting group at Trillium Dog Fanciers this weekend. Trillium Dog Fanciers, that's Bob Neely Whitney's Kennel Club, and it is their anniversary today. I meant to mention, happy anniversary to Bob and Elaine. I've always called Elaine Mum, and it was so funny. We all had it was a great panel of judges. It was Bob Dawson, Jim Reynolds, Gary Anderson, Raymond Yurick, Gene Blake, and myself. We had a great time, and because I always call Elaine Mum, we went out to dinner for the judges' dinner, and at the end of it, the waitress, well, where does the bill go? And I said, Dad, put up your hand. And it was Bob. So Bob had to pay for us all. But we had a great time. It was great to see everybody. I hadn't seen Bob Dawson. I interviewed him not too long ago, but it was great to see him and catch up with him. He's living in Bangkok now. So he's all over the place, that guy. And Mr. Reynolds, well, you know, he's an icon. And we all just sat and talked, and I listened to him, and he gave me some hints about my judging career already, and it was great. And Gary, it was great to catch up with Gary. I haven't seen Gary for a while. And then Gene's always Gene. I love Gene. So we talked about dogs, and Ray was there. And Raymond was my assistant for about 5 years. And he's doing great. He's already got like 4 or 5 groups, and he's a very good judge. It was fun watching him judge Whippets, because that's his breed. So I sat and watched him judge Whippets. It was great to see Raymond. I haven't seen him in years. And Len Harfield was there the last day, and I hadn't seen Len in forever. It was great to catch up with him. It was a great weekend. It was really a good weekend.
I think that's part of the process you'll enjoy judging well, as you get together and visit with friends that you haven't seen in a long time. You have a mutual interest. I mean, there are people I've known for... Well, I got a call from a woman last night to judge, and I probably haven't seen her in 30 years. You know, that's the beauty of the sport, is you'll run into these friendships and friends. And speaking of that, friendships and this wonderful family that we have, I want to talk about this past Saturday, Will.
Oh, yeah. It was tough. It was a very tough day, because that was the day that they all decided to cross the dog show world to wear pink and pearls for Jamie Donaldson. And I'm telling you, the world stepped up. Everybody was doing it. It was, you'd look on Facebook and you'd see it from all over the world, people that didn't even know Jamie. And I just like how they all united and they did this. And it's a tough question, because I don't know if Jamie would ever want that kind of attention, but it was bigger than that. It was just people stepping up because of our family, and everybody wore pearls. I even wore a pearl. I wore a pearl earring on my lapel.
Unfortunately, you know, I was tied up with this transport and this puppy. I didn't get to any shows, but from what I've heard, there was a sense of kindness and people being more helpful with one another. And let's hope that stays.
And there was group pictures taken, and it was an overwhelming response. I'm just very proud of our family for stepping up and uniting like that for someone we all love and miss.
Yeah, sure. The pictures of all those people dressed up in pink was just sensational. Just sensational. Really, really heartfelt. So good on your sport. Remember that. Remember that love and remember that kindness every weekend. Every weekend. We do have another passing to report, unfortunately. Pat Hastings passed away. I didn't know her really, and I don't think Will did either, but we've heard her name for sure.
Of course, yeah. She's
been a force in the sport for a long time, and an author and instructor and judge. And those who knew her well had so many good things to say about her. And she'll be missed. We have these holes in our soul where the wind blows through, you know, all these people that have come before us. Let's hope we learn from them about life and dogs and carry on in a positive way to keep the sport rolling forward. So, that's the way it goes. So, reach out and call your friends.
It's simple to do. It's simple. And it's so nice. Like, you reach out and someone you haven't spoken to in forever, like you talked about Dougie. I think I'm going to call Dougie now that you said that.
So, you should.
Check on Dougie.
I can tell you years ago, probably, Bob and Jane had a good long life, but they'd retired and they were getting older. And Mark Truffle and I decided to fly down and visit them. And for no dog shows, no reason but to go visit them. And we knocked on the door and Janie says, Well, you figured we're going to die soon, so you should come say goodbye to us, right? This is way before they were bad. But yeah, I know why you came. You know, did you think we're going to die? As only mother could do. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. There's many times I want to pick up the phone and call mom, or when she's, you know, when I think, usually Monday morning, she'd call, son, what do you know? What do you know? You know, what's going on? What do you know? And she'd always call Scott, because Scott knew everything. And she got all the dog show reports from Scott before the internet and Facebook and all that stuff. Heaven forbid we have to wait 2 seconds now to know who went best in show.
No, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And by the way, Will, another weekend, I don't want to get into it again. I'm sick of it. But man, we had 195 entry dog shows, 200 dog shows. We had, you know, you could go best in show in the morning and then in the afternoon too. Just everybody has the best in show. How many best in shows we give it? I don't know. We probably gave it 30, 60, 80 more best in shows this weekend, whatever it is. Yeah, it's just so sad to look at those. Oh, I had one. A woman posted that at her Borzoi Regional, which used to get over 100 dogs, there were 17 entered. Used to get over 100 at this regional. 17 showed up. Mm. Now, not that I know you're sick of me pimping Silkins, but not a problem for them to get 100.
Even especially up here, they got like 55 or 60.
57, yeah. That was a nice dog that you sent me a picture of.
Oh, that picture is lovely. Yeah, he's in my class, and he stopped and free baited. And I thought, oh, I want that picture. So I took that picture.
Yeah, beautiful.
And the shadows were just perfect. It was almost artsy looking picture. His outline was so pretty, you know.
They do look like, I mean, they're just so beautiful to see. Interestingly, someone called me. I assume you got a few cool calls and emails. Yes, yes. After last week's show, I sure did. A whole lot of them. And two people asked me, okay, who's the breeder I get them from? This is a silken unique answer. There isn't one. They actually work together. I know, crazy concept.
Crazy as it sounds.
But I sent them a list of six people who all breed to each other's dogs and show each other's dogs. You can't tell one from the other. You know, they really, truly work together. And then it gets even more complicated when you're judging, because they all show each other's dogs too. So you have to make sure you remember, okay, that dog was in this class. But is that the same dog that I just saw?
And the thing is, we all do that because we get a big class. Okay, the marker is the man in the red jacket, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, the man in the red jacket's gone.
Yeah, we do. And when you have a big class, by the way, or even a small class, I focus real hard on who that first dog was, because especially in a group like this, where they're not savvy about the silly things like the, you know, start setting up your dog because the last dog's moving. That's usually your son. It's your last dog. But if you're just having a good chat and hanging out and you turn around, you're like, I wonder which one I started with.
You know, so you do that. Like, I always tell the Cavalier people too, they enter dog shows so they can have their meetings in the ring.
Yeah. Yes. There are breeds like that. And these people are just having a good time. They're watching lore coursing, you know, they're doing, oh, look at there goes, you know, great stuff. Great stuff. Pleased to know, if anyone is interested, and you should be, near Sacramento, California, March, I want to say 15th through 21st, because they do lots of different events, lore coursing, racing, as you know, all this other stuff. But check their website or their calendar, or I can find out more and post it somewhere. But they're having their Silken Fest, their annual national specialty. They call it Silken Fest. And it will be in this coming March in Sacramento, middle of the month, 15th to 21st. And the judge is Carmen Battaglia, who, nice. You know, Carmen's a heck of a dog man, and I think it'll be great fun for him to experience this site. I'm sure he'll come back as energized as we do. Gene Blake's done it a few times, and he feels the same way. A lot of those Borzoi people, there are some that are fighting this, and I understand that, but there are also plenty who are buying them.
Yeah.
Because
once you meet one, you even if you're not a sighthound person, they're very appealing. They're very appealing. Well, there's another national especially going on right now, a breed that's near and dear to both our hearts.
Yes.
The English Super National, yeah.
And Who's doing it? Do you know?
I want to say Bonnie Truffle. I think.
Good.
Yeah, I think she's doing. I know she's doing Bitches for sure. I'd have to look and see. Yeah.
Excellent. Oh man.
Wish I got a call from Adam this morning. He's there right now. So I.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I've got a. I'm looking at the show schedules. There's so many damn shows. You got something to enter. You look where you want to go. That used to be easy. You knew the shows every weekend. You knew exactly what the calendar was. Now, they're, I didn't even heard of these shows. What are they? Then you see, you know, the old shows. I don't want to pick any particular. I'll just whip up some off the top of my head. Queensboro or places that I know are in Long Island, right? These counter clubs that have Riverhead, Long Island in their name. And I look and the shows are in Connecticut. And I'm like, what? Wait a second. How did that? So if you're confusing an old man, you know, it's not that easy to fill out these entries. But you do have entry services now, InfoDogs and many others.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And they're saviors now. Like I remember writing out entries and Allison and I were first on our own show on dogs. And we'd write out all those entries ourselves by hand and send the one check in ourselves and then charge the client. Crazy times, you know, but I can still remember.
Twice.
What's that?
Didn't think twice. That's what we did.
No, exactly. But now I can't remember my phone number. I can remember my first dog's registration number, QG374458.
Right. You had to write it somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, at Forest Ice, we had, you know, we're showing 50, 60 dogs, fill out those entries. And then, by the way, on Monday morning, you date the tear sheets, you put the rooms in the envelope, and you send the bill out. Every, you know, they got the results and the ribbons. That was all done by hand too. Now you have to, if the handler or exhibitor doesn't text somebody in 3 seconds about how it went, people get into a panic.
It's just crazy. I still remember, you think of it, two young handlers, Alice and I were about our mid-20s in the mid-80s, and we showed a lot of dogs back then. I remember one weekend we showed like 50 dogs, and I had to write out that check to the kennel club, and it was like a $5,000 check. This is the mid-80s, and these two kids, 23 and 25, whatever we were, that broke us until we got paid again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a different sport for sure. But you take your goods with your bads. And
that's right.
And go on from there. We've got a bunch of shows coming up here. Why wouldn't we? Every weekend, there's a bunch of shows. But I just had, before we started to talk, ladies and gentlemen, Will and I talked a little bit before we hit record.
Yeah, a little bit.
During that time, I had lots of calls. One from a judge who's a friend and asking about an assignment. Are you judging there? Yes, and so is another friend of ours. And sometimes it comes down to you accept an assignment because you know the people on the panel, and we're going to have a good time together talking about dogs. And it's a whole dimension, new dimension to the assignment.
Oh, for sure.
If you go by yourself, you don't know anybody, or you don't really have tremendous, you know, it's not like, oh, there's some really good judges on this panel. It's not as much fun. But if you find out that you're judging with friends, that you can talk honestly and learn about, you know, if I'm on a panel with, I don't know, Clay, I'm going to ask him about terriers. I'm going to ask him about chihuahuas and shepherds. And, you know, I mean, there's people that you're going to learn from if you have any kind of relationship with them and you care to ask. So I don't know if I ever told a story. Remember Connie Barton, of course, she was great.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
She became an AKC rep. And 42 years ago. Is that right? No, 32 years ago when I first got approved to judge, 32 years ago, they did interviews at the shows and you watched an entry with them outside the ring. And we went to watch Labradors together, which was her breed. You know, she was the kennel manager for the great, oh boy. Sandy, no. What kennel was it? They all came from Gwen Brody, Sandy Lane's kennels. Anyway, it'll come to me. But Connie ran some great Labrador kennels and showed a lot of great Labradors. We were all done with Labradors. And she said, well, Beagles is on here next. Let's go. I hope to learn a lot about Beagles. You know, she came down to do that. She wanted, of course, she's interviewing me, mm-hmm. but that's a breed I had more experience with her. She wanted to learn about them. That's how it used to be done. That's not a bad way to do it, Will. You can't be an expert in every breed. And to have that exchange when you have someone on the panel or as a rep, and there's plenty of reps today that I would certainly want to learn from.
My first memory of Connie is sitting in the hatch, on the hatch of Mr. Eldridge's, he had a Suburban back then, with Mrs. E and Connie and Mr. Eldridge talking about Irish Setters having lunch at the Old Dominion Dog Show.
Wow, how great.
I'm about 11.
Yeah, how yeah. cool is that?
Yeah.
My first memory is when I was working for Forsyth. I was, what, 9 years old? I think it was 17 or 18. On the bus, on the Bluebird, you'd walk in and Connie be playing cards with Bobby Fowler. They played cards all the time. You'd have to yell, hey, stop playing cards. Get a dog show. Really? Dog show time. Put the cards away. Oh, great fun. Great times.
Mrs. Anyway. E woke up early. She made us lunch. And then I remember, and we would, I still remember sitting on the back of that Suburban and we were talking about English Cockers because we had just finished watching English Cockers. And I was just listening to them. I wasn't talking much. But it was an amazing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great folks. People don't think about Bonnie as Labradors, Bonnie Truffle, we're just talking about. But boy, she's got tons of depth of knowledge in that breed.
And, you couldn't find a better gun dog judge, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know her mostly from gun dogs, and there's no one. She could buy a dog for me any day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question, right? How many people could buy a dog for you?
Yeah.
It depends on the breed sometimes, but yeah, sometimes it's just someone you say, I trust them, I know they've got a good eye and they'll figure it out, even if they don't know the breed. They have an eye for dogs and they'll give me a good assessment. But
we used to always say that, would you let them buy you a dog? And I remember talking to Jeff Brucker one time and we were watching somebody do Dobermans and somebody asked him, well, they do a good enough job, you'd let them buy you a dog? And Jeff said, I wouldn't let them buy me a cup of coffee.
Well, some judges who are very well intended just never get it.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me a similar question about, do I think they have the eye to be a judge? And I said, and I meant this, I wouldn't let them pick my drapes or my furniture. It's just an eye for balance and taste.
Right,
and some
exactly.
people, this is not mocking those judges. You either have or you don't. And these people will tell me, oh, you can teach people to have an eye. No, you can't. You either have an eye for it or you don't.
No, you can learn study the standards, words, and try to interpret them. But you, unless you have that eye for symmetry and balance, you're never going to really get it. So,
yep. And usually you can arrange your furniture in a reasonable way if you have an eye for balance. So yeah, it's an interesting concept of how that works. We have the AKC seminars coming up in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. It's a month and a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's 6 weeks. Yeah. And that'll be a great time for everyone to get together and talk about dogs. And I've mentioned before, I always learn more in the hallways after those seminars than when I'm in them. If you're in there with a couple of good students that you know, and talk right after the seminar in the hallway.
Yeah.
That's always a great way to put the icing on the cake.
I have a friend like that up here. We all know Colin Brownlee, and he'll do that. He'll see a dog at a dog show and he'll send me a picture of that dog. And then we'll start talking about that dog. And he'll say, well, it didn't go best in show, but it sure had a lot of qualities that I like to see in that breed. And it's not just his own breed. He sent me a picture of a golden retriever last week that, and it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I could see the virtues that he liked in the dog, you know, and that's what it's all about, virtues, well, I think. So
you're absolutely right. You know, it's so easy to find faults, so easy. Most faults, anybody can do it, but can you find enough virtues and prioritize accordingly? And of those faults, for me, which ones would impact their function negatively.
Right. I think there are a lot of cases, it becomes a personal thing too. especially if you're breeding or showing dogs and you've come across, well, we've talked about this before, you've come across a breed that has a hard time with its fill in the front or something. Well, then when you see one that has it, you may overlook something else wrong with it and award it because that's a personal thing about you. Do you think the breed is lacking?
I talked to one of the Silken people last night who I think is a brilliant breeder. And she had two dogs I really liked, and I gave one reserve and I gave one an award of merit. And we were talking about it, and she said, how'd you like them? I said, boy, they were my favorite ones. But if you're talking about a breed standard that says 18 and a half to 23 and a half, and you're trying to make a specific size dog, and it's not a measurable breed, I want to reward you. I want to give you an award of merit or reserve. But I know in my eyes, they're an inch or two over easy. The top of the standard. There's not much I can do for you because I'm evaluating breeding stock.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to keep breeding big dogs to big dogs if you're trying to breed an 18 and a half, 23 and a half. So that's a thing that's, you don't want to penalize them. You want to get them up there in the ribbons, but you want to make it a point that the ultimate awards have got to go to dogs. In this case, this is a breed that's trying to get a standardized size, and they do. They have it. But when you get beautiful ones, I want them to be shown because there are bitches that should be bred to that dog that's 1 or 2 inches over. Definitely want them to be shown. But that's how you have to start your priorities as a judge, is figuring out what do you think is important to the advancement of these breeds. Not who's the top winning whatever. Breeding stock. Which one would you breed to? And that's... doesn't make you popular all the time, because they might not be the prettiest one, the flashiest one. They might just be a darn good one that has features that are lacking in that breed in that period of time. You know, when you get on the East Coast and English Setters 50 years ago, they all had bad fronts. All of them. Beautiful type and bone and heads, but boy, it wasn't hard to find a bad front. So when you found a good front, you maybe even, over-rewarded it because it was such a rarity. And giving allowance for maybe a bad tail, which was pretty good in the breed. You know, it's prioritizing your point of view of breeding stock. There's so much to it. Boy, those people who don't judge and complain about it.
Well, for sure. I don't know if you remember a judge named Pat Miller.
No.
Canada, would smoke whippets. She was, and she had Shih Tzu as well. Amazing whippet breeder and just an amazing person. She's still around, but I think she's down east. She's retired. She was quite hard on her breed when she judged them. But every once in a while, she would award one a group. And I'd look at it and think, well, it doesn't really look like a wood smoke whippet. And I talked to her afterwards, and she said, all through the years of myself breeding these dogs, I had problem keeping fill on the front. So whenever I see one, I'm almost jealous, she said, and I have to reward them. So, because she knows how hard it is to do certain things in certain breeds. And that's what she said. She said that the dog had beautiful fill in the front, and it was so hard to find in her breed at that time that she had to reward it. You know?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and she was an amazing judge. When she retired, we lost a good judge up here in Canada, and so much fun. We used to talk about when I would be a judge, because she had this thing that was her thing, Pat Miller's thing. She'd get all the judges together at dog shows at night, and they'd have pajama races in the hall. And she couldn't wait to have a pajama race with me. And I wish we had them, because that would have been so much fun. That's just the way she was. She wanted to have fun all the time. She bred beautiful dogs, and she was a very good judge. And our sport misses that she's not judging anymore. But if you're listening, Pat, I love you, and I miss you, and the sport misses you. So, I wish you had a pajama race.
That's right. You know, growing up as a hockey parent, staying in hotels where there's, you know, 12-year-old hockey players that want a pajama race in the hallways at night, I am now the grumpy old man, you know. Get back in your room. Your parents are...
Well, can you imagine, though, if you were interrupted by this, and you look out there and there are these old guys running up and down the hallway in their pajamas racing each other? I think that'd be hilarious.
You couldn't get mad at that. You couldn't get mad at that. And actually, I am pretty cool with little kids. I like talking to them because I was there. Oh, you guys playing, you know? And then they get, you know, ripping on each other. He stinks. He can't shoot, you know? And, yeah, it's fun. We get a lot of course hockey hotels up here. You would well, I'm sure, in Canada. But
sometimes you can't get a hotel at certain places because the town's having a tournament.
Yeah. Oh, that happens here in Kalamazoo. This is we had the World Series of women's softball kids here. And there's big tournaments of softball, women's softball here. And when that's going on, or we have United States Tennis Association Junior Championships here. Yeah, good luck getting room for the dog show and those things. I know. So there you have it, Will. There you have it. The damn sports. Speaking of the sports, I'm watching this baseball thing, you know, this World Series.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for Philly because I want them to have a whole Philadelphia sweep. So I'm sorry, Houston, but you're cheaters. No, you're not. Some guy did get caught with a cork bat. The cork bat and a couple recorded signals, but it's all fair. No, I like both.
All the signs point to Phil. No, I'm just kidding.
But anyway, I'm sitting there and I've got this puppy who's cuddling up on the chair, you know, and we're hanging out and she's never seen American TV. So she's fascinated. She's staring at it like she's watching the game. And I'm explaining to her the game. And I said, these guys get paid so much money to hit that little ball, but they're not very good at it. They can only, if they do it one out of every four times, they get paid millions of bucks. They're batting 250. So the other three times they strike out or fly out or stink. So they're only have, if that was tennis, Will, and you only had to hit the ball one out of every four times back over the net, you'd be a pretty poor tennis player.
That's right.
And if you were a hockey player and every time you, if you were, well, maybe if you're a goalie and you only saved one out of every four, that's a better example, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you had a goal against
goalie for very long,
five, you'd... Yeah. Only kidding. I know the differences. I know the speed. And yes, I played baseball too, but it is fun to watch these guys. I want that percentage for the weathermen. I want when the weathermen in the morning say it's going to be sunny out, I want their stats to come up going, he's batting 228 on sunshine.
That'd be interesting. That'd be, and start taking bets and whatnot. That'd be good. Yeah.
That'd be the way to do it. But anyway, your Maple Leafs are doing. Hey,
I don't want to talk
about those.
I'm sitting by the phone because I know any second now MLSE is going to say, "Will, we need you. Get out here. We need you to start coaching."
Yeah. Well, they may need you on the ice for a couple.
Well, I sold my pads, so I don't.
You sold the pillows.
Yeah, I don't think I have. I haven't been on skates in 20 years, but I'm sure you know I'm. Put me in, coach.
I've seen some of their goaltending. I don't think they've been on the ice in 20 years either. It'll get better, buddy. We'll be breaking out the Maple Leafs. You're already breaking it. I'm a fair weather fan.
Well, now the Ottawa Senators are up for sale.
Yeah. How about we buy them?
I think we could coach. They got a good young team building up there. You know.
Yeah. I say we buy them and install you as head coach right away.
I'm telling you.
Put me in, coach. Can you imagine?
All pajama races. Where's the coach? He's a pajama race.
The thing that always amazes me about head coaches is how quickly they think of line changes and lines in milliseconds. Oh. Looking who's out there, looking who's on the ice, knowing who your matchups are. That blows my mind how fast that goes.
They work hard. They are tireless. The video they have to watch all night. Like they don't get any rest.
Just like Will Alexander's handling classes.
That's right.
Just like it. Thinking on the fly. You should come down and do a silken handling class. Maybe we should all go to the Silken Fest. You could do a handling class. We could have fun and Carmen will be there. We could have a good, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe we can get Gene to come too. It'd be fun to get his sighthound viewpoints.
Oh, for sure. I love watching Gene judge sighthounds. He did Afghans and he did sighthounds this weekend. I remember as a kid, a young adult working for Bobby Stebbins, he'd look at his schedule and there's a break between Newfies and Goldens. Will, you're going to go watch Gene Blake show a Saluki. Mm-hmm. I'd go off and watch Gene Blake show a Saluki.
Yeah.
The same way with judging them now. You watch him judge. It's so breed specific the way he judges his sight. Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah, it's really fun. And that's a breed that I always want to learn more about because I'm fascinated by them. Anyway, young William, I know you've got things to do.
We do.
I've got a couple to do myself, including walking a puppy who's now looking at me like Mia looked at you last week.
I was smart this week. I gave them all chew sticks during the podcast. They're all doing something right now. So
very well done. Very well done.
All right. Johnny's fast asleep beside me. Now he's finished his chew stick. He's got his maple leaf snoot on. I have four snoots for Johnny. They're all different versions of the maple leaf jerseys. And I had to put the snoot on because you can't have a chew stick without a snoot on because, you know, ear only, thing.
Only in Canada can you get a Toronto maple leaf snoot for an Irish setter. So they don't
need someone made them for me.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
Anna Houston, who's a very good friend of ours, and she's a judge and she co-owns some dogs. She made me all these snoots, and they're all different sizes. They're amazing. Yeah. I have my choice. Depends on my feeling that day.
How good they are. You might want to get yourself a couple Philadelphia snoots. All the teams.
Just
anyway. Don't get a lot on this one. You'll lose every week. That's our football team. They tell me here in Detroit, in wherever state I live in, Michigan. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it this week. Stay tuned. We'll try to get you better dates on Silk and Fest. You won't regret it if you're in that area. And don't forget to tip your bartenders and waitresses. William, I'm out.
All right, Wayner. Everybody stay safe out there. It's great to catch up, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
I'm born no way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie. From where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Watch the moon.
Hit it.
To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold
thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
I don't want to see it on a blooper anywhere.